Welcome to Utopian AF, the podcast, where we discuss new topics involving our current way of life and how things could improve for the benefit of everyone. This week, we'll be discussing the death penalty. I'm your host, John.
And I'm Patrick.
Welcome to another episode of Utopian AF, the podcast. If you guys are just tuning in and you haven't listened to any of our current episodes, we have about 3 episodes out right now that are going over domestic pets, how they currently exist and how they could exist in a utopia, if there's a place for them or not. Would love to hear your feedback on it. So go check out those episodes and let us know what you think.
And for those that did comment and did post your pet photos, thank you. They're adorable. So this week we're talking about the death penalty.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the real deal here.
Where you go from being alive to not so much.
So, Patrick, I want to ask, what is your current position on the death penalty?
Kill them all. No, I don't know that I have one, honestly.
You do not have a position?
Well, here's the thing. You're either for or against the death penalty, right?
I'm not sure. It's such a gray area. It's like, I mean, I guess I don't know how to answer that either. My immediate go-to would be no. But then when my brain starts wandering and I start thinking about some of the shitty things that people do to people, and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
maybe.
What I've never understood is if you're religious and you have read the Bible, they say, turn the other cheek, not an eye for an eye. That's Old Testament stuff.
Yeah, Old Testament is eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. New Testament is turn the other cheek.
Right.
Not so, that the Bible has any, you know, conflicting ideologies or anything, but continue.
Fair enough. I think about it in that context. This person murders another person. And so we say, you know what? The punishment for that murdering is more murder. It right. doesn't logically follow to me.
I can see how it could work. I mean, let's say you have a person who's murdering lots of people. This is a person where...
What's a lot of people?
No matter what. I don't know. More than one. I'd say it's a lot of people.
So one is acceptable. One is acceptable.
Could be a mistake. What one could, you know, you could pass one and you're already doubled what most people go through in life.
Fair enough. Continue.
If we're talking about somebody who their sole existence in life is just, they just get off on murdering people and that's all they want to do, then the idea that society can put that person in a room and go, you know what, maybe we should murder this one person. One more murder that ends all the murders, or at least all the murders that are coming out of this one person. And I can see, logically, that does make sense. Logically, it makes sense.
What? Wait. Logically, it makes sense to murder the murderer?
Logically, if you look at it as a numbers game, where like this person's existence equates to ongoing murders.
Okay.
If you end that person's life, then you dead end that path of destruction. But at the same time, if it's like somebody murders someone and realizes that they were wrong, not just out of fear of punishment, but legitimate, oh my God, what did I do? Where there is the ability to rehabilitate a person. However, you can't bring back the life that was taken. The emotional response would be, well, a life for life. That other person didn't want to die. That other person didn't deserve to die. You made that choice for them, which in turn means that you give up your own right to live. And I can understand that. At the same time, if there's the opportunity to rehabilitate, I don't know. That's where I get stuck. I'm like, damn, I don't know.
So there are two schools of thought, essentially, when it comes to imprisoning people. The first thought is that there needs to be some kind of punishment.
Yeah, I think so.
The second one, though, is rehabilitation.
Right.
This person needs to be, quote unquote, course corrected to... Right. live in our society.
Right. I'm pretty sure that the punishment was always kind of intended to be part of the rehabilitation. You know, you take your licks, you learn your lesson, and then you drive forward.
I mean, it's no different than if you have kids, disciplining your kids. Not necessarily, I'm not saying go death penalty your kids, yay.
And that's a good example too, because there's still a difference between you discipline your kids with the goal to rehabilitate them to learn from their mistakes and move forward, rather than, hey, my kid messed up, it's an excuse for me to just go ham on this little bastard and, you know, you're just taking out your emotion on that child, then that's not rehabilitation. That's just extreme.
Right. There is evidence that suggests corporal punishment or spanking or...
Sign me up.
That it turns people kinky. There's evidence to suggest that it's ineffective and actually causes more harm than good.
Spanking?
Yeah. Because you're essentially reinforcing the
notion...
Those
daddy issues, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Fuck, man. We can't even get 10 minutes in.
10 minutes into spanking?
Let's move on.
Man, I don't know if I can move on from spanking. I'm in a rabbit hole now.
Go get yourself a nice cup of ice water and it'll be fine.
Cold shower.
But there is evidence to suggest that spanking a child is ineffective. I tend to think when, you know, you ask me what my thoughts are on the death penalty, I tend to think that there are situations where somebody is incapable of being rehabilitated, and younger me would have said, because they can't be rehabilitated and their crimes are heinous, they should probably be put to death. However, I think in the past, I don't know, 20 years, mental health has kind of been a more respected field of study.
Yeah.
At least in my view.
I would agree to that.
It makes me wonder if mental health is being taken more seriously, perhaps the rehabilitation for serial killers is possible. You know, we just don't know how that type of brain works yet.
Yeah, this one's a little fresh in the media. Jeffrey Dahmer, for example. Now, Jeffrey Dahmer went to prison. Jeffrey Dahmer became a born-again Christian.
Yay.
Which, I don't know, in my book, doesn't necessarily mean much. Do you think if Jeffrey Dahmer was willing to rehabilitate himself and actually interested in changing himself, do you think he deserved that opportunity?
I think everyone deserves that opportunity, to be honest. I think everyone deserves the opportunity to learn and do better.
I do want to pause you right there. And okay. I just want to bring up a point that okay. immediately goes to that. You say everyone deserves an opportunity to try again, to do better, to have a second chance. Although, when you think about all of his victims and what they went through, these are people who have been denied any kind of a second chance or anything by this person.
Yeah, they didn't even get a first chance, is what right. you're saying.
I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody's trying to rehabilitate something in their life. But any life that they wanted to pursue was denied by Jeffrey Dahmer.
Agreed. Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I do believe that second chances and rehabilitation is something that needs to be considered more. But when it comes to something extreme like Jeffrey Dahmer, I don't know. I don't think Jeffrey Dahmer is a person that should be allowed to just go back on the street at any time.
Well, that was what I was going to say. In that scenario, where you have like a serial killer situation or Jeffrey Dahmer, serial cannibal. In that situation, I think the prison system has an obligation to, if they can figure out how to help heal somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer, then they have that obligation to society.
I mean, they technically don't have the obligation.
You're right. An ideal. They should. They should have that obligation.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And honestly, I do agree. Actually, what you're saying earlier raised a really good point as far as rehabilitation goes. If you look at the word rehabilitation, we could break down, like, what do we mean by rehabilitation? Do we mean that Jeffrey Dahmer's just going to be cured one day? He's never going to think about killing people? I doubt it.
I would doubt it based on where we're at today, but I think it's possible in the future.
But even so, does that mean that he has earned his right to...
He's forfeited his right to live amongst normal society. Right. That's gone. Like, I'm perfectly fine with somebody spending the rest of their life in jail. But we as a society become gracious enough to gift him his life back despite not
doing
the same.
What he has taken from society.
Right.
And what I was going to suggest is a form of rehabilitation, which I really think could be the key, is an opportunity to contribute something back to society. And what you were saying earlier about understanding more about what makes people do this, you can't really understand them if you just put them down.
Right.
However, one thing about Jeffrey Dahmer, we're talking about a guy who got caught and then was singing a different tune once he's behind bars. And I understand that. However, I think Jeffrey Dahmer was an opportunity to look inside the mind of a person like that. Once he was caught, from what I gather, he was pretty open about his process, his mentality.
There's a mini series on Netflix, I believe, called Mindhunter. It talks about essentially how the FBI profiler came to be a thing. It's based on a true story. And they interviewed this guy, Ed Kemper. So he killed his grandparents when he was like, I want to say 15, 160 IQ. Like, he was extremely smart, but he was also 6'8" and a very large person. Anyway,
he was
just
a big, smart, mean kid.
So he ended up killing his grandparents. He convinced the court to basically, as a juvenile, lock him up in a mental facility. And they do that. He's so smart that he actually helps them write the test for testing whether or not somebody belongs there.
Okay.
He becomes like this model citizen.
Of murderers,
right? Everyone likes him. They end up letting him go once he becomes an adult. And that's when he starts actually killing people. He ends up just driving. It was in California, but I don't remember which part. But he's essentially just driving the highway, picking up young girls. And then he would take them to some secluded area and do all sorts of horrific stuff. I don't know if it was the last person he killed, but the big one was his mom. And he ended up decapitating her. He tried to take her vocal cords and dispose of them in the garbage disposal.
I wonder what his reasoning was.
From what I understand, she was very controlling in his eyes. He said the vocal cord thing was because she never shut up.
Yeah, I was going to say it had to have been symbolic in some way of shutting her up.
He ends up like having sex with her skull and just all sorts of bizarre shit. Well, do you want to know how he gets caught?
Yes. Sorry, I had a mental image that I was trying to scrub out. It's your mom, dude.
So he actually doesn't end up getting caught. He turned himself in. And everyone that knew him was surprised because, like, here's the thing. Before he goes on his murdering spree, he tries to apply to be a cop. He actually spends time hanging out at a cop bar. All the cops know him.
He fit right in.
That's a good example of somebody who knows how to game the system in terms of knowing how to say and do the right things.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back on track.
I think we were talking about whether or not they can be rehabilitated. You were saying he was very smart and could basically outthink the next, you know, curve that he's going to have to face.
Right.
Eventually.
So I think when it comes to the death penalty, the biggest thing for me is whether or not it's effective and what the purpose of the death penalty is, right? Because if you're saying it's to deter crime, I'm willing to bet that the statistics show otherwise. People are going to kill people if they want to, you know.
When people get to the point of killing someone, there's a good chance that they're at the point where they're like, I don't even care if I die or not. So it's like the death penalty doesn't do anything for someone like that.
I do hate all of the people, though, that end up on death row and start, like you said, singing the different tune, like, oh, woe is me, I'm a victim. Like,
yeah,
dude, if you're going to be a serial killer, for example, own that shit.
Yeah, I saw a movie once. I want to say it was called Dead Man Walking, and it's a early 90s movie, I believe.
Is that with
what's her name from Thelma and Louise?
Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon's in it.
Yeah, and
I believe Sean Penn actually plays the convict who's on death row. So basically, the opening scene is two younger teenagers. They're in the car doing stuff. Two rednecks pull up and basically do some very, very bad things and end up murdering them as well. And one of the rednecks are Sean Penn. Annie's on death row. He's kind of stupid. Susan Sarandon. I don't remember what her occupation is, but she is visiting him and he's...
She actually is a nun.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, that's what it was. He was finding Jesus. It was kind of like the Dahmer scenario. The whole movie is made to try to make you feel something against the death penalty. But at the time, the movie didn't do that for me. Seeing the opening scene was enough for me. And to your point, it didn't matter how sympathetic the character became at any point in the movie. All I had to do was think about what he did earlier in that movie. And I always wanted that dude to die.
Yeah.
I was like, nope. I mean, sorry for you, but you know, I'm thinking about other people crying and it's not you. It's the people you killed. It's the people's family that you killed.
Side note, another good movie is Primal Fear.
I don't think I've seen that one, but I've heard of it. Is that Richard
Gere? Are you serious?
Who's in that
Richard
one?
Gere, Edward
it
Norton.
It is Richard Gere. I don't think I've seen it, but I know you're
I think
about.
It's Edward Norton's finest work. You should watch it. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, that was pretty much it. It's really hard because... I don't know. It's really hard to say. Honestly, I think if I had to make a choice, I think the death penalty maybe should exist. However, it should be a last resort and it should be totally extreme cases. And there has got to be a thorough process leading up to that moment.
Some would argue that in the United States, you get the thorough process because you have appeal after appeal and you can go all the way up to the Supreme Court on it. However, I'd be curious to know statistics on death penalty cases over a certain period of time where the person being sentenced to death was later found innocent.
Yeah. And see, that's the scary part because you never really know. It's an imperfect system. And until you have a means of like knowing everything, which I don't know is possible.
So what constitutes thorough, though?
I would say in order to receive the death penalty, perhaps it's got to be like without reasonable doubt, like there is just enough evidence and such where it's certain this person committed this act.
Would you say like you have to have at least X number of witnesses or?
Then all you got to do is outsmart that and just make sure you execute the witnesses too.
I think when it comes to the death penalty and where it's going to come into play in the future, public places right now have cameras everywhere. Your home is now starting to get cameras everywhere. People don't seem to like pay attention to that.
But you're always going to be able to find a place where there's no cameras unless it's, of Maybe. Course, like in the heat of passion.
Well, I mean, your cell phone might start recording you. You don't know.
Yeah. But if I wanted to murder somebody, I could take my phone out. You know, like when somebody's about to fight and they're like, hold on a second. They start taking their earrings out. That'll be me. But I take my phone out and I just chuck that motherfucker, just chuck it while I'm looking at somebody. I just stare him at the eyes and take up my phone and I just chuck it. It's like when a cop is like turning off their body cam. It's like, oh, fuck. Maybe we could look up some statistics because I am curious to see whether or not the death penalty currently could be said to be effective.
I was looking up some death penalty statistics last night and Amnesty International, which is like the global equal rights group, they actually are in favor of abolishing the death penalty across the board. So like worldwide, they have a lot of like really compelling stuff. First off, one of the things I didn't know is how many people do you think were executed in 2021 worldwide in that year?
Worldwide. I don't know. I'm not even sure. Is 1,000... a lot? Is it not a lot?
So apparently there was only 579.
Oh, okay.
I was actually surprised by that. I thought it'd be more. What they did say, though, and this is coming from Amnesty International, it's not your boy Patrick saying this. Side note, John gets to watch me do like all the hand movements and stuff when I talk.
Yeah, he threw gang signs. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm offended. In China, they don't actually disclose how many people put to death. So it's estimated that total, if you count China, is actually more like a couple thousand.
Damn. So China's killing more people in the world than anybody?
Yeah, but if you think about it, their population is the largest in the world. So if they kill 1,000 and the rest of the world kills, well, we'd still only kill 579.
How many people do you think China's got?
Like 2 billion, I would guess it's probably somewhere like 1.6 billion. Let's see.
let's just round up and say 2 billion.
It's 1.4 billion.
Okay. So there's how many people in the world? Are we at like 9 billion now?
Let's see.
And then you're comparing their death penalty stats to the whole world, right? So the whole world, out of like 7 or 8 billion people, 500 of them are sentenced to death penalty. But in China, where there's less than 2 billion people, they're in the thousands.
Yeah.
That's still not a very good...
What constitutes a good number?
I don't know if there is a good number. I mean, if we're talking about eliminating the death penalty, anything over one would be bad. But when the whole world together, minus China, is at about 500-600, and then China alone at under 2 billion people is into the thousands, that sounds pretty insane.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people they're killing compared to the rest of the world.
Here's the thing I was thinking when I read that statistic, is they said 579 people were put to death based on the system for their respective countries. That doesn't necessarily include all of the people put to death by public trial, where you don't officially go through the system.
Like the witch burnings?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a mob or something like that?
That's got to be accounted for as well, right?
Like, I wonder how often that happens these days.
Never. There's no reason to revolt, and this podcast is all just make-believe. Getting back to the statistics, I thought that one was interesting. But the other thing that is interesting is there are a lot of countries that have, over the past, I want to say 30 years, started abolishing the death penalty. And in doing so, they find that crime has not increased. So the argument then would be that for those that say the death penalty is a deterrent from people committing heinous crimes, that's false.
It's not making much of a difference at all.
Right.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, by the time you get to the point of killing somebody and actually doing it, and you know that the death penalty exists, you're probably at a point where you don't care if you're alive or not anymore.
Right.
Or at least in the moment. I mean, especially when it's like a crime of passion. Honestly, to your point, it's probably most to all cases. Because if it's a crime of passion, then you're definitely not thinking about the consequences. You're in the moment and everything's just going downhill and you're just, you know,
you're trying to save yourself, but your decision making is impaired.
And that's where that goes. And on the flip side of that, if it's something preordained, wait, is ordained the right word? Preordained?
Premeditated.
Premeditated. Thank you.
Preordained is like,
yeah,
I'm about to become a priest.
Right. Oh, man. Which is close, but no. So if it's premeditated, then obviously you're aware the death penalty exists and you just don't care. Like you're playing the risk anyway. You know, if you get caught, you get caught. And that's what Dahmer was essentially doing. At that point, obviously, it's not really deterring you. You're just trying not to get caught.
You use the word risk, I believe. To me, it seems like crimes in general boil down to risk versus reward, right? If the chances are low that they're going to catch me, I may be more inclined to rob a bank.
Yeah, I agree. If the risk of getting caught was lower, maybe more people would consider robbing a bank. But on the flip side of that, if people weren't desperate out of poverty, chances are a lot less people would even think about robbing a bank.
True. So it goes back to socioeconomics, essentially.
Yeah. Ask the question, why are people robbing banks? Do some people just want to be filthy, freaking rich, and they want to get there fast? Yeah, of course. Robbing a bank isn't necessarily the only way to do that. Just look around. There's legal corners you can cut that are completely immoral. And, you know, the system's pretty much set up so that you can do that. But I feel like people who rob banks out of desperation, or would rob a bank out of desperation, if they simply had a better quality of life and they were able to just exist outside of a fight or flight kind of situation, outside of survival mode, maybe they wouldn't consider risking it at all for more.
I swear, I had this conversation the other day. You can tell when somebody has been conditioned by life for survival mode. You know what I mean? You can tell when somebody has had to fight for things versus...
Yeah. Some people have the luxury of simply working for things, and some people have to literally fight for things.
But I think the people who don't have to fight don't understand that there are people that do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People who haven't had to exist in survival mode for like their whole life, they have no idea.
Right.
They have no idea. They have a lot to say about it. A lot of judgment, a lot of critiques, a lot of blame, but they don't know.
Right. A lot of those people, though, are the ones that are, let's make laws stricter. They don't necessarily understand crime. So, like, backing up for a second, if you told me you stole a loaf of bread because you haven't eaten in a week, I'm not going to look at that as a crime. I'm going to look at that as a crime against you, that society has failed you where you have to steal food.
Yeah.
However, if you yourself have never been in that position where you've had to go without food, you can theoretically understand it, but you can't really empathize with it.
Right. Because you're still viewing it from a perspective that has always had food.
Right.
No matter how hard you try to understand it, even if you do tend to click a few things like, okay, well, that makes sense to me and I can understand that. I think if I really try, I can maybe sense that type of desperation. But the truth is you're really not. There's so many different aspects to it that you're not even aware that you're not aware of that all contribute to that trauma.
The reason I mention all of this is that there are explanations as to why people commit crime, at least in my worldview. You can generally look back and figure out, okay, if this person grows up in a shitty neighborhood, they never go to school and they get beat when they are around their parents. If that person grows up to be a shitty human being, I'm not going to be surprised because they don't have a basis for.
Right. But they're going to be blamed for it. They're going to be punished for it. The world's going to just keep on coming down on them for it.
So one of the things to kind of relate this back to what we're talking about, which is the death penalty, with Amnesty International, one of the things they said is that a lot of the political systems that people go through, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them have flaws that may be biased against particular groups of people. Case in point. I know.
What?
Hold on to your blasphemy. Hold on to your butts.
You're too white to make statements like that.
I don't know if you know this, John, but in America, the African-American male is more likely to be stopped and detained than a white male. I know that's shocking.
I don't believe that's true because I used to be a cop and I absolutely believe that to be true. No, I was being sarcastic. It's one of the reasons I couldn't do law enforcement anymore. I realized I don't belong there. Didn't fit in.
So not only are different groups of people denied a fair trial or fair legal system that represents everyone equally, in addition to those groups, you've also got socioeconomics. So the more money you make, the less likely you're going to be facing hard time. And that's crime in general.
I used to work security on Rodeo Drive. And let me tell you, those people with a lot of money, they go through some hard times. One time, there was this girl who's just, man, she was having a really bad day. You know, she wanted this pair of shoes in Chanel and they were like $6,000 or something. And her dad told her no. And it was just like, dude, like, oh my God.
It's the audacity for me.
You want to talk about the death penalty? You should put her dad down. That poor thing.
That's a good point, though, because that sounds absurd. But there are people out there in the world living like that. And they think that's normal.
Well, no, that was a true story.
That's what I'm saying.
If somebody thought I was making that up, no, that was true. I lived that existence. Funny story. I think it was even that, like, I'm not sure if it's the same day or not. Might have been the next day. But I also saw Conor McGregor walking back to my car just while you had paparazzi follow him and everything. That was kind of cool. It's weird, man. The rich world is weird.
So the moral of this story is just eat the rich then, right?
They probably taste bitter.
They probably do. I mean, you know they're not using like shit ingredients.
I haven't seen anything I would consider to be sweet in that realm.
Yeah. We should do an episode where we discuss the United Nations because the United Nations is supposed to be this like global guidance, if you will, but there is questionability as to whether or not it's effective.
You're telling me that there's a question on whether or not the world leaders are actually like doing any good?
Yeah. Who knew?
Man, I am learning all kinds of new things.
You know, I'm a beacon of information. Did I mention that countries that have abolished the death penalty, they tend to do better? So
wait, I thought you said they just do the same.
You're right. You're right. Crime doesn't really change based on
whether you get rid of the death penalty or not.
So what that means then, though, is that the death penalty is, in most cases, punitive. Yeah, that's a good word you use, because if we're talking justice, is murdering one person that murders another justice, or is it just revenge?
Depends. I'm going to look up the word justice and see exactly what the definition is. And then we'll look up revenge and kind of do the same thing. Then we can contrast and compare. All right. Definition of justice. Just behavior or treatment. What the fuck? What has anybody ever taught Webster that you're not supposed to use a word in the definition of the word? Come on. All right. Here's another one. A judge or magistrate, in particular, a judge of the Supreme Court of a country or state. What the fuck?
That's like a Supreme Court justice.
Right. These are kind of stupid definitions of justice.
Here's the definition of revenge. The action of inflicting hurt or harm on someone for an injury or wrong suffered at their hands.
I would say the death penalty incorporates that. One example being is typically family members of a victim can sit in and watch the execution of the perp, of the person who...
Of the perp.
Whatever you want to call that.
Perpetrator.
Dead man walking. They get to watch the dead man walk and die. Part of justice says, wait, never mind. This is just the example. It says a concern for justice, peace, and genuine respect for people. But that's just an example of the word being used in a sentence. Honestly, this definition of justice is total crap. Humans don't even know what the word justice means. We just throw it around. We're like, what does justice mean? Everybody's like, you know what it means? It means like things that are just. Like,
I know, but why don't you tell me what it means? So I know that you know that I know.
Right. So it seems like it is very much open to interpretation, which, man, that's kind of a bag of worms in itself.
I guess the question would be, do you think justice is served when somebody who has murdered, we'll say two or more people, when somebody like that has been put to death?
Okay. So here's how my brain works. I'd have to ask questions. That's not enough information for me. So far, the information you gave me is this person has murdered two or more people. Give me an exact number of people.
Let's say four.
Okay, he's murdered four people. He murdered four people here. Why did he murder these four people?
I don't even know what accent that could possibly be.
I think it's Brooklyn, but I'm not sure. So he's murdered four people, or she. Do we have any kind of a reason? Like the explanation for this crime?
No.
Okay. So we just don't know. So we're like, this right. Person's in jail and I'm sitting in a room going, hey, why did you murder these four people? And he's just like licking the wall.
Right.
That sounds like he's crazy. If the person's story was, look, I murdered these four people and I asked why. And he said, well, they decided to kidnap me and take me to the woods and tie me to a tree. And I was naked and I was out there the entire night freezing to death. And somebody came in, let me down. And after I got over pneumonia, I just went after him and murdered him. I'd be like, you're definitely go to jail.
Right.
But I don't know if murdering you is the right answer. Because
I think it's an emotional response than it is punitive.
Well, right.
We as a society go, you know what? You killed four people. That's absurd. We will not abide.
Right. I don't like the fact that the way our society is that it's totally fine for a person to knowingly push you to all of your limits, trying to get you to break. And then when you finally break, you're the problem.
Right.
You can break anybody. I'm pretty sure you can convince anyone to do murder at some point. I know that there are points that would push me to kill a person.
Well, it's like that movie, Full Metal Jacket, right? You've seen that movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where he shoots himself.
Yeah.
Does he kill anybody else? I can't remember.
Yeah, he shoots his drill sergeant. Yeah. But
yeah.
That's because he's trying to do the drills and he is not, I don't know if he's not all there or he's just he's having a hard time. But as a result, the drill sergeant is kind of punishing the rest of the platoon. And so they eventually get tired of it and they
start torturing him. Yeah. And at some point, yeah, you could look at that and see that platoon as society, because that this is a society that he's living in at the time. I was in the army. And when you're in basic training, that's your world. That's your culture. That's your society. Whatever happens in your group, you don't think too much past that, especially before the times of the internet. Your world is what's in front of you. And when your whole society is out to get you, essentially, for things that are outside of your control, the problem is you're no longer understood. No one cares about you. No one cares about your perspective. Society has outcasted you. And then you're blamed for no longer having that compassion for that society.
It's kind of a whole can of worms, right? If you think about it, like, think about grade school. I don't know what kind of kid you were in grade school, but
the one who got beat up a lot.
Yeah, that was me.
Until I hit a growth spurt and started fighting back.
How long did you have the same classmates? You know, some people go like
it was
all the way
one
from kindergarten.
Eight.
Yeah. Okay. One through eight. Yeah. For me, like, you know, I moved around, so I didn't have too many people I knew that entire time. So it was a little bit different in that regard. But let's say you grow up in population 30,000 people kind of town, right? In that scenario, you know everybody. Your class is relatively small. And let's say you do something embarrassing in second grade, something that gives you the wrong attention early on. It's going to take you probably at least 2 school years before you outgrow that, especially in smaller rural type school systems.
You might develop like a nickname out of it that just sticks and you got to hear it for the rest of your life or whatever.
My point there is that getting rehabilitation or people to see you differently once they've made up their minds is extremely challenging. And I think once we see somebody as a murderer or somebody worthy of the death penalty, it's very hard to change that perception.
It's easy to say, you just need to get your shit together. You just need to go get a job. You just need to go to school. You just need to do this. But like, when someone wasn't there teaching you these things the way that it was being taught to people around you, it's hard to just throw that at someone.
Right.
It's
no,
easy
that makes
to
sense.
Just throw it at them, but it's not.
Yeah, it's easy to say,
anything.
This is what you should do. And I mean, I can't help you, but that's what you should do.
Right.
And never mind my privilege. I don't know, man. You know, getting back to like ultimate question of, you know, what are my thoughts on the death penalty? I think if you're trying to be punitive, if you're trying to say, we want this person to quote unquote suffer, I kind of think that life in prison is much more torturous. You know, imagine you only have a negative view of yourself and you go out and commit murder and you understand that, oh, I could get the death penalty. So you're okay with death. At that point, you've kind of made your peace with that. I could be put to death for killing all these people. At some point, you're going to have to say, okay, I'm okay with that because I'm going to die anyway. So wouldn't it be, in that scenario, much more rewarding for the victims that this person is denied than a swift death?
I feel like it is important to have the option of the death penalty there, but the goal should be to use it as infrequently as possible. Anytime it has to be used, I think compassion should be practiced during the execution itself, because we should always be trying to do better instead of being blinded by our hatred and not judging the acts that we are doing just because we're having an emotional response, if that makes sense.
I mean, it does.
I just think sometimes we can get carried away in justifying hatred. We don't realize that by giving hatred power in the first place, for example, if somebody close to me was murdered and I was watching the person getting executed or knowing they're getting executed, the goal, I think, would be to not be like, yeah, fucking kill that son of a bitch, and really building my perspective off of that foundation. The goal, I think, would be just sympathy that this all happened in the first place, and it's just more of a sense of closing rather than revenge.
As we'll talk about in the next episode, I think it's not a open and shut kind of thing, because there have been families where their killer was brought to justice and the death penalty carried out, and they still don't find closure. You know what I mean? So
right. It
goes back to the question we asked earlier, is it really effective? But we'll talk about that more in the next episode, because we also have to define what does that look like for utopia, because we want to do...
Does it have a place there? And if it does, where would it fit?
Right. It's a little hard to imagine a utopia where we're like, yeah, we still kill people.
But it's also hard to imagine there just not being something that you do for the extreme case scenario.
Agreed. What are your thoughts, audience? What do you think about the death penalty?
Are you super for it, super against it, neutral? Let us know.
Does it work? Does it not work? Feel free to reach out to us on Facebook. Our group is, it's getting big, bigger. I wouldn't say big, but bigger. And we appreciate each and every one of you.
Quality over quantity.
Quality over quantity. Indeed.
Or in this case, a little bit of both.
How do they find our Facebook and all the socials, John?
I've been showing people the QRC on my phone, but I can't do that. So
just search up Utopian AF.
You can also find links at Patrick's OnlyFans.
Okay. I haven't been marketing the podcast on OnlyFans. That's a very specific niche.
But you've been marketing your OnlyFans on the podcast.
Touche. Until next time, adios.
Thanks for tuning in to Utopian AF, the podcast.